and all of our listeners all over the world. Welcome to a stuttering edition of Let's Weekend. I am your host with the most computer issues, Brandon Perkins. Joining me as always is Filippo D'Onofrio, Patrick Mifflin, Teresa Sammons, and Chris Loci. Say hi, everybody.
Hi.
Hey.
And hopefully a less stuttery episode than last week.
Yeah. I'm going to be completely honest. There's a couple of ideas of what I think may be causing issues. But hopefully we'll figure out what it is soon. But anyway.
Too many cocks on the router.
Yeah.
Thanks, FCC.
Yeah. Anyway, this episode is going to be for February 22nd, 2019. And we're basically got a shit ton of political shit that went down this week. A lot of it not good. We'll be more specific about it later, including a certain actor who faked a hate crime.
And can go fuck himself for doing it in my city.
Yeah. We got old codgers going who edit newspapers saying they want to bring the Klan back. And a bunch of other random shit happened too. We've also got yet another entry into the 2020 presidential race to talk about. And one of the owners of the New England Patriots got busted with hookers.
As you do.
Yep. And, of course, we'll have all that and more on this week's edition of Let's Weekend. So, to start us off, as always, Phil, what have you been up to this week?
So, fuck this week.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. So, Monday, I found out that one of my friends passed away.
That sucks.
Yeah, this has been, it's like, I knew he had health issues. They had been, kind of creeping up on him since he basically moved back to Michigan. Some people may know him, like, by his YouTube handle, L1011 Winebody. He does stuff like, MechWarrior Let's Plays, Fallout Let's Plays, and stuff like that. But I knew him as Richard Haynes. He was 32. He passed away on the 3rd of February. So one day after my birthday is when he passed away. And I only found out about it Monday. So this week has been kind of shitty. Going through the stages of grief. And, realizing that every little thing is like reminding me of him. It's been kind of tough. The last couple of days have been a little bit better. It's like I'm now, functional and at least, made my peace. So it really sucks because, he was a good guy. And 32 was young, it's not it is very young to die of a heart attack.
Horribly young.
Yeah. So yeah. Rest in peace, Rich. Might be gone.
Nope.
So that was how my week began. Fuck this week. Apart from that, I've been doing my usual stuff to try to keep myself sane. I finished the Bobaverse books 2 and 3. I didn't have much left in 2 and 3 is a pretty short book anyway, so it was pretty easy to get through those. God, I love that series. It's just so enjoyable. It's one of those things that starts off very narrow and then just balloons into something on a galactic scale. And it's got a lot of great humor and, very well worth if if you've never read it. I keep recommending it, but someday some of you guys are going to actually sit down and listen to it or read it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, April 16th when I start my next painting thing. I'm gonna start playing that.
It's great.
I'm pretty sure I'll get through all 3 books.
Yeah, it's great. So there's been that, and my Doom stuff, which is progressing pretty well. I spent a good deal of time today building a new plasma rifle. This thing is kind of badass. It's got homing bolts.
Ooh.
Yeah, it takes 5 cells to fire a homing bolt, but it does stupid damage. Of course, it doesn't fire very fast because that would be overpowered.
I was going to say, if it's anything like the regular plasma rifle, then that's OP.
Yeah, well, the regular plasma rifle, I did have to bump up the damage because the enemies that we're putting into this wad are, some of them are just
kind of buff
as fuck. Yeah, like some of them could even stop time on you. So that's...
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. So, yeah, I've been doing that. Tomorrow I'm going to work on the sprites a bit more and get that all settled in. Yeah, I'm going to do that one. And then I got the rest of the weapons to do, but I figured the plasma rifle would be probably the easiest since it is one of the more simple weapons. And, yeah, getting that all squared away the way I like it. And
yeah. Again, if you need a rider for this project, give me a call.
Sure. Might very well do that because, yeah, we're looking at a... I'll have to get some notes, but it's kind of a parallel story that goes along with the UAC.
Okay.
They apparently they had a company that was competing against them, and they ended up, as a result of what the UAC did, the Titus Corporation ended up successfully terraform the Titan moon of Jupiter and found stuff that they shouldn't have.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So yeah, maybe we'll get more into the in depth into the story. Maybe we won't. It, you know, it's Doom. It might not need a story. So no.
Yep.
So
I think wasn't it John Carmack who said something like, you know, a story in a video game is like having a story in a porno. You know, it's a nice feature, but it's not really the draw.
Yeah. We'll see. It might this might be something that maybe we end up doing a bit more on. So who knows?
Mm-hmm.
For now, we're still working on the first map and just getting it playable. So I've been focusing on for this week.
Well,
yes.
I've kind of been. I've had the whole thing with Richard on my mind as well, of course, because I knew him as well, and this whole thing came out of left field. But I. You know, you've already spoken at length on that. And other than that, I've just kind of been just going at Final Fantasy 14. And I would say that I'm pretty well present on my secondary character now. I've got a couple of level 50s and I'm plowing through the main story quest trying to unlock the 50 plus content. But... other than that, not much. It's just this week has kind of been where organized thinking goes to die because I don't even remember half of it, and it was a short work week. I haven't really been as mentally present as I would be for a lot of it, and yeah, I'm looking forward to hitting the reset button this weekend and getting back into a better mind space.
Yeah, I hear you.
All right. Okay, then, Teresa, what about you?
I forgot that this was a short week. That probably explains everything. Monday, I thought it would be a grand idea to take my kid downtown and we would go to a couple of museums because they were free. And I didn't want to drive. So 8:30 in the morning, we go and we park at the train parking lot and fucking forgot to pay for the parking. Had to go back out there and pay at the kiosk. And we get downtown and we try to get a bus to get us over to where we were going. And then that got fucked up. And then by the time we got the connection for the second bus, we were fucking done. Paid $22 for a cab. And we got there at noon. Noon, you guys. Noon. Mm-hmm.
that's a little after 8.
Yeah, we left at 8:30. I could have been parked in Soldier Field's parking lot, paid for, and standing in line to get into the Free Day Museum thing by 9 o'clock. Noon. So, and the kicker is, I spent more just on the cab ride than I would have on parking, probably. Plus... Oh, and the buses, if you guys ever come to Chicago, you got to put exact change in them. I put a $10 bill in, and I didn't get my $7 in change. Because it's $1.50 for a ride, and we had 2 fares. Okay. So fuck Monday. It ended up like this. Scott got out of work early, and I'm like, can you please drive all the way the fuck downtown and pick us up? That's exactly how it went. Because I figured the 45 minutes it would take him to get downtown, and then the good hour it would take us to get back out, would be quicker than the alternative. So, I was again reminded this week of what a fucking suburbanite I am. So I clearly couldn't cope. But other than that, I've been playing Kingdom Two Crowns, doing couch co-op quite a bit. And then I played a lot of Pokemon Go, obviously, because I was fucking downtown again. So I did that, and I've got something that's like the Go Plus, but I think what it is just a refleshed Xiaomi Band 2 or Band 3. I think it's a Band 2 little thing, and it works pretty well for catching a shit ton of Pokemon and spinning the spins. So, I had hoped to be at level 39 by my birthday. It's not going to happen, but I'm not far off of level 39. It's a fucking long burn. It really is. I don't know why I'm obsessed with getting to level 40, but seriously, I am still playing this game every fucking day. I haven't missed a day since my grandmother died last fall. Like,
Damn.
fall ago. And this is why I chugged through the battery life on my iPhone and had to switch phones.
And you know what's
Because,
great about all that is that pretty soon the Harry Potter one comes out and you're going to have to do
No, I've already decided I can't do it. I have to make my stand.
it
I have to make my stand. But I've been binging Grace and Frankie on Netflix. I know it's nothing any of you guys would ever be interested in. But Phil, if your mom gets bored, let her know it exists. I started a couple of days ago and I'm in the middle of season three. But the acting is fucking awesome, and it should be. I mean, it's Lily Tomlin, Jane Fonda, Martin Sheen, and then the eyebrow guy from that cop show, NYPD, right? No, I don't know. The eyebrow guy, you guys know who I mean. No, okay. And then the guy that my mom has the hots for that has the mustache and has the cowboy hat, and people make a lot of memes out of him. I'm sorry, dudes. I'm
Sam
horrified.
Elliott.
Yeah,
Sam
Sam
Elliott.
Elliott. That's him.
Yep.
So, yeah, he's in there. There's other people who pop up with cameos too. But pretty damn good. And I've really been enjoying watching it because I've needed to clear my brain because we're clearly buying a condo. Last week I thought we were going to. This week done, except for the whole waiting to move in part. So yeah, lots of back and forth and lots of opening my veins and let the money flow out.
Yeah, and then comes the packing.
But I think that this is going to be pretty fucking easy. And don't giggle when I say this, because what we're going to do is just borrow the moving dolly, the little wheel thing, not the actual thing with a handle, just the four wheels on the platform. We're going to buy a cardboard Gaylord, and we're going to load everything in the Gaylord, and we're going to push it into the elevator, go down a floor, and then push it out of the elevator. So we're going to do Gaylord moving.
Resists
Oh.
must not be joke.
No,
But
I've worked
better than my
I've
brother's.
worked with too many of those to joke about them.
But yeah.
Yeah,
And
so
again, we also hoisted one of my friends up to the ceiling in one of them in a forklift, so.
yeah, I don't think it's gonna be a horrible move, and I think we're gonna have 2.5 months to move because I'm pretty sure our landlord won't be able to sell this place before our lease is up at the end of June. So we're gonna get stuck with a double rent thing. So double rent, well, rent and mortgage on the same month. But
Well,
hey.
considering that considering that you actually don't have to even go outdoors to move, that's a pretty good advantage.
Right? So who cares if it's raining or muddy or whatever? But I'll have a lot of time to get painting done and shit like that. So, and get the single guy funk out of the place. Well, he's lived there since like 1997,
Yeah.
and I don't think he knows about spring cleaning. So, but yeah, I will be listening to Babaverse while I do the painting. So that'll be fun. But you know, there's that, and then my fucking snail died. I don't know, my assassin snail. I just bought him like 4 weeks ago, and I'm wondering, like, can I get my $5 back?
The
So I don't
assassin
know.
snail was assassinated,
I think he
apparently.
was. Honest to God, I think the other snails killed him. Because last time
Well,
I saw
the good news is all you need to do is get some garlic butter and hey, free escargot.
that'd be really, really little escargot. And it was already swarming with corpopods when I asked Jacob if he thought it because I couldn't see well enough, but I knocked it over with a chopstick, and he just kind of laid there upside down. And I'm like, "Yeah, I think you're fucking dead." And Jacob's like, "Yeah, there's something eating him." Look, Mom, I'm like, "I can't see. Let me get your glasses." And I fucking hate being old. We're done, Chris. What about you?
Yeah, so weather-wise, this has been a really shitty week. We had snow Sunday night, which was fine. It got warmer on Tuesday and melted all that. But on Wednesday morning, we got probably about 3 or 4 inches. And it seems like nobody in the city knew it was going to happen. So the highway was just pure shit. Looked like nobody even attempted to try to plow or put down salt or any sort of solution or whatever. So yeah, that drive ended up turning from like a normal like 20, 25 minute to like 40 minutes. I got to work late, which didn't really matter too much. Especially when one of the managers showed up about the same time. So like, oh, I don't think they were exactly all that surprised people were late. Because there's not too much you can do. But yeah, it's not fun going on a highway that's at 65 when everybody's going 30 or 35, and you can't tell what lane you're in. A couple times I
This
was
is
on.
why it's good that I'm not medically cleared to drive, because I would probably develop a bad habit in the offspring sense.
And a couple times I was trying to stay in the right lane, could feel the rumble strips. I was like, okay, somehow this trail just veered off course at some point. But yeah, I got there, did some shoveling, which whatever, it keeps you busy. But yeah, the end up watching a lot of plows driving around, seemed to not have any idea what to do, because it still kept coming down. So like, at the point I got there, it was maybe about 2 inches down, and still another two to happen over the next couple hours. So it's like one of those cases where you shovel a good path and then you turn around and it's already almost covered back up. It's like, well, okay. Just kind of do what you do. And for a reason, I did not know this was a thing. Some people showed up with like high power leaf blowers to blow the snow around because it was light enough. And I had shovels, like, well, no point dealing with this anymore. And so I went on break and was like, okay, I'll come back later and see what's going on. They managed to clear out a good bit with that, a lot of the finer areas. But yeah, that wasn't a great day. But then it started warming up, and now most of it's gone. Though we still have some big mountains of snow in the parking lot.
Hey, guess what? Wait until Sunday night or Monday. You're gonna get blown the fuck off the face of the
Yeah.
planet. Yeah.
At least it's supposed to be in the 50s this weekend.
Yeah.
So that'll help melt out a lot of it, but all the shit that's in there, the dirt and grime and whatnot.
All the fucking gravel in the parking lots and shit from the plow trucks. That sucks.
Yeah, that's not the greatest. But luckily I don't park anywhere near the house. So that's other people's problem. So, but yeah, it's yeah, despite the 50s, it's gonna go right back to 32, I think, on Monday. So right back down, just another way of just create more potholes.
Yeah. You know what, though? We're on the far side of this shit. It's the end of February. We're on the far side of this. God damn it. Where's wood?
Yeah, don't proclaim any ends just yet.
I'm ready for it, though.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm tired of the yo-yo temperatures.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the worst for roads.
It is. Oh, my God. So many potholes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's bad for all of us who have to get our front ends aligned in April after all the shit's done.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, as for watching stuff, I decided to watch The Fix on Netflix, which is like a political comedy show where essentially, I forget who the host is, Jimmy Carr, British guy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He's hosting it, and he kind of has two different groups. I think all the episodes I've had so far had D.L. Hughley on one side, and I forget what the other woman's name. Yeah, Google's giving me a different show. but yeah, sort of bring up like important topics. Catherine Ryan's the other one. It's been a mainstay so far.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like the first episode was about social media, ruining people's lives and their ability to think or do anything without staring at their phones all the time. And so they kind of try to come up with ways of combating that, which just having comedians on, there's a lot of just jokes flying all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think one of the options was just slow the internet down.
Yeah, so you do that, there's going to be blood in the street.
Yeah, like these aren't really that serious, but like the idea was, you know, if you want to look at your women on Instagram, it's going to take like 2 hours to load.
Oh my God.
That sort of thing. That's how you get people to stop obsessing about this stuff.
They won't. I lived through the dial-up era. They won't.
Yeah.
No.
Nope.
And I think the other side was essentially an internet license for getting on the internet.
Yeah, fuck that shit, because we're the fucking Jedi masters of the internet here.
Which was D.L. Hughley's idea, which I think his partner's like, wait, the black guy's advocating for more cops?
Ooh. Damn!
Which is a good joke. The second one's immigration, which featured some comedians that are immigrants, including the white girl who was Canadian.
Yep.
And yeah, so definitely talked about that a good bit. And the third one I'm in the middle of is artificial intelligence, which I think one of the ideas was have robots fucking.
Okay.
Like just give them something else to do.
Well, Japan already cornered the market on that one, so.
Yeah. And that one has Ron Funches on it, which is pretty good. But yeah, he's really into the robots fucking idea. but yeah, that's a real good show.
Well, when you get done with that, I forgot to mention I'd been watching Patriot Act on Netflix with Hasan Minhaj. Yeah, one of my friends who fancies herself a moderate recommended it to me, and I'm like, oh, my sweet summer child, you are not a moderate.
Nope.
Join us.
Yeah, he was the most recent show about the drug prices was great.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause he's like talking about, okay, we're not going to be angering any governments this week. We're going to anger out the pharma companies, specifically focused on insulin pricing, how it has exploded in pricing since the 90s, to the point that people are literally dying because they cannot afford it and try to ration it out or whatever. And that's not something you can actually ration.
Mm-mm, not even close.
No. And how kind of disgusting it is because we don't have any laws against raising the prices, which is sort of how Martin Shkreli was able to do what he did, though he was doing it in the most dickish way possible. But every other pharmaceutical company raises prices, but more in a smaller doses. But yeah, that's a good show. Always. Last Week Tonight was pretty good, which mm-hmm. they started up with a check-in on Brexit. What's going on there?
Yeah.
Which is all the bad things.
Oh, yeah.
Basically, they're heading down the worst possible path.
7 days away, people.
Yep.
1 week.
And, yeah, that's going to be interesting to see how that all turns out, because there also could be some really bad shit happening with Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
Because they might end up putting checkpoints back in the border between Ireland and Northern Ireland.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you do not want that to happen.
Mm-mm.
No.
Mm-mm.
I have some friends who live in Ireland, one who lives in the Republic and one who used to live in Belfast.
Yeah.
Yeah, who like lived through the Troubles.
Yeah.
Yeah, that you do not want that to happen.
Yep. And yeah, there's just a lot more shit going on with that. And he shows a lot of this weird show they have, which is just people watching TV.
Yeah.
And reacting to it. I forget what it's called. It's like Box something.
Yeah.
It's called YouTube.
Yeah, right? I mean,
yeah, but this is broadcast on British TV.
You know, you're just sitting there scratching your balls, readjusting your tits, whatever.
I imagine
sitting around watching
cut to the interesting stuff, but they show a lot of like people talking about Brexit,
yeah,
and how stupid it all is. But yeah, that's also a great return for him.
Mm-hmm.
Especially the bit they have replacing the part where they show Parliament, which is like a weird exercise show.
Yeah, there. For some reason, there's this weird law in the UK where you can't like put you can't use footage from the House of Commons in a comedy show.
Yeah,
for some reason,
because it you can't make fun of them.
Pretty much,
that would be I don't know. Too easy of a target, I guess.
They do such a great job of doing it themselves.
Yeah. So they ended up replacing that with like a weird exercise video. You'll just have to watch the Brexit
thing on YouTube. Yeah.
Yeah. Where he shows it. Because like in the past he's had who is it? Had somebody read just like Yelp reviews. Like 3-star Yelp reviews that are not, you know, particularly, you know, positive or negative.
Yeah.
Gilbert Gottfried, that's who it was. Just having him read them. And I kind of wish there was the UK version on YouTube. It probably mm-hmm. is, but I want to see like, the full segment of that stuff. Because that is a. Some great stuff, especially if you're just watching, you know, Last Week Tonight and all of a sudden Gilbert Gottfried's reading Yelp reviews. But yeah, as for games, I've been playing more Assassin's Creed Odyssey.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a boat now. I'm exploring the many, many islands and such in Greece.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's been good. I am like a level 11 or 12, something like that. So far, I have not run into any sort of issues where it feels like a slog. Though I can definitely see them like throwing tons of like side quests and such. Like there's specific like boards, job boards you can go to.
Mm-hmm.
They give you like time limited like quests to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you know, go. Sink 5 Athenian ships, you know, kill 5 sharks. Like, okay, this is weird shit. And it's just time waster stuff.
Mm.
Then I end up getting weird bounties for sinking ships. I don't know. Cause there's a whole like mercenary element to the game where, your character is a mercenary, but, if you like kill people in, Sight of Others. They'll like report you, I guess. They're narcs.
Yep.
And then there will be, like, if it starts piling up, it'll get to a point where a mercenary starts coming after you. It's mm-hmm. like the first island you're on is Kefalonia,
mm-hmm.
and there's one that's kind of after you. If you stay out of sight, you can generally stay okay. Though there was a point where I was in a cave, and I started actually seeing him on the compass. I was like, "Oh shit, this guy is level 5. I'm level 2. I'm gonna get wrecked." And he comes down into the cave. I'm hiding in a bush, so I'm theoretically invisible. And he just walks by and walks around. And goes deeper into the cave, and I just go right up and get out of the cave. I'm like, fuck, I gotta get the fuck out of here. And yeah, that's a game that could be a huge time sink if you wanted to, because there's tons of points of interest and little bandits areas and such. So far, I'm trying to stay away from that stuff as much as I can, but there's just lots of stuff that you can do, and I'm not always able to figure out what is mainline, what's not.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of do a good job of, in your quest line, just like, here's all the stuff that's labeled for your mainline stuff, but it's not always... Because like the most recent stuff I did involved Sparta and their war against Athens.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're kind of partnering with Sparta, particularly the Wolf of Sparta, to try to weaken Athens' presence on their island and help them take them out, sort of rid the Athenian presence from the island. And you get into this big war area, like mission you go on, which is kind of like if Dynasty Warriors wasn't so just like a power fantasy,
mm-hmm.
in terms of you just, you know, hacking and slashing, getting hundreds of kills, if you had to actually put effort into it.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that's kind of what I did for the most part at the end. That I had a chance of killing the Wolf of Sparta, which you find out is your father. Who tried to kill you early on. Because there is this whole thing where they need to sacrifice your brother, your little brother, your baby brother. Well, that's if you pick Cassandra as your character. If you pick Alexios, I assume that's Cassandra, baby Cassandra, that gets thrown over.
Yeah.
Assuming killed, and you get thrown over because you push the priest that threw the brother over.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, murderer, you gotta kill her too. And your father just does it without hesitation, really.
Yeah.
And you come back and you're like, man, what the fuck were you doing? And he's like, you know, kind of falling apart a bit at the end as you're, you know, confronting him about this. And yeah, he's not in a great shape. About it. So, like, at the point you can decide, like, oh, kill him or let him live. And you're like, he has to, you know, he goes off on his own journey to kind of atone for his sins. And you get his mask, his helmet falls off. You're going to go take that as, like, your sign of you killing him, even though you haven't really done it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a whole thing. I'm looking forward to putting some more time into that. But, yeah, that is a game that has too much in it.
Mm-hmm.
It needs to really streamline things, and I can at least follow it a bit better.
Mm-hmm.
So then, like, as soon as I got off the Kefalonia, it throws like 10 quests on my quest log, and they're all way higher level than what I am.
Wow.
Like, some are in like the 20s, 30s, 50s, something like that. Mm-hmm. I was like, why the fuck are you putting this on my list? I don't know if it's tied to DLC since I have the gold edition or not.
Yeah.
Though it did present, I think, the one main line for the DLC on my list. So it tried to make that stuff a little bit easier to parse out. But yeah, it's a good game. I definitely do want to play some more The dialogue stuff is a neat addition, though it's not like Mass Effect where there's, you know, good and bad ways of reacting to things.
Mm-hmm.
It's usually, since I'm doing exploration mode where it doesn't explicitly point out like where you need to go, you have a lot of like questions you can ask, like where is this thing at, or where are these people at, and they'll tell you that, and you kind of figure it out on your map where you need to go.
Mm-hmm.
Though sometimes it'll just straight up point you exactly where you need to go with a nice icon. But yeah, it's a pretty cool game. I definitely am kind of enjoying it. I've also been playing some Rocket League because they put out their big Rocket ID updates where you essentially have platform agnostic friends.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of an in-game friends list. So you can add people from other platforms if you want to the list. Which is still a bit weird to do. Because it's essentially like the Battle.net kind of style, where you can have a name and then it adds a random number to the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you have to give out to people. And unfortunately, it's not unified between the different platforms.
Yeah.
So I have, you know, one for my PSN accounts, one for Xbox, one for Nintendo. So I definitely hope they get an account system in there at some point, unify all this stuff and get the items unified as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been playing it a good bit since the new season started, season 10, for the competitive stuff. And doing pretty well. Though I'm definitely having some bad games and then having babies that are trying to forfeit. Like, we're like a minute into the game, we're down by like 2 goals, and they're like, hey, we should forfeit. We're putting up the forfeit thing. It's like, man, go fuck off. We can get 2 goals in the last 4 minutes. And sometimes we do, and it's like, yeah, shut up, you idiots.
Mm.
Though I did have one guy just straight up quit because nobody wanted to forfeit with him. And we ended up making it actual pretty close for being 3-2.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, dumb idiots in that game. People take it too seriously. But yeah, that's kind of multiplayer in a nutshell.
Mm-hmm.
Also been playing some more Crackdown 3. I've kind of gotten to a point where I'm kind of about to bounce off of that game.
Mm-hmm.
So I had pretty easy time with the early parts of the game, with the same basic like quest it has around the place. It's not if you go into, you know, specific areas and you kind of do the same thing over and over again for that type of mission, which can be fine because that's kind of what the original Crackdown was. Though it wasn't really so much the same kind of mission types. It was kind of, you just go to a place, there's a bunch of dudes, you shoot them all, and that's all. And once they were all dead, you won.
Yep.
You won that area, and you took out that boss. And here, it's just kind of like, you go to this, they have like these like monorails, essentially. Mm-hmm. And you go there, and it's like, oh, you just kill these robots, and then the boss appears, and you kill him, and then, boom, it's yours.
Mm.
It's kind of a little bit like Just Cause, but with it's more mindless in a sense. Like, every town you go into in Just Cause usually has like a set number of goals, you know, like, you know, blow this stuff up, find these collectibles, that sort of stuff. Crackdown's just all just kill everything, and eventually you win. But there have been a couple areas it's just like, hey, here's lots of poison shit all over the place, or toxic shit, I guess. And there are enemies that just literally just have like a super soaker full of toxic goo they shoot at you, which I have a gun that also shoots that stuff. But not everything is susceptible to poison. So now I have a good shotgun that is essentially like a force shotgun.
Mm-hmm.
If I shoot them, their body goes flying away. So that's been really nice and useful for just knocking those dumb sorts of enemies around. And knock them into the water where they die.
Mm-hmm.
Though I had an annoying way to end my session the other day, where essentially I was taking on this like police station that's out in the ghetto, And so I saw a tank. I was like, I've never seen one of these before. Let me get in this and see what it does. And it gets immediately blown up. It's like, well, I try and get out, and I can't move.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all button inputs cease to be recognized.
Mm.
To the point where I can't – I have to actually hit the Xbox button to pull up the mini dashboard and close the game. Because I can't do anything in the game. I was like, well, this is a good time to just stop playing. Yeah, I've been running to like these harder areas where I'm not necessarily having the right weapons that I need for them. I'm not necessarily knowing like what weapons would be best. Though now they have this like four shotgun, I think that's going to be a good one to have. Because it turns out if you just knock them around across the map, that's a pretty good way of getting them dead. Because they cannot take fall damage like you can. They're just dumb criminals or whatever it is. But yeah, the game's okay. If it definitely feels like an Ubisoft game where sometimes their games are really good when they come out, and sometimes they're like, eh, it's okay. But Ubisoft keeps working on them until they actually get to be pretty good.
Yeah.
And this feels like one of those games where it's like, if they keep working on this, maybe it'll be really good. But right now, it's kind of it's kind of a time waster game.
Yeah,
pretty much a game you have to have something on Netflix or a podcast going, or else it gets kind of boring. Unless you're doing like co-op, I guess.
I'm sensing kind of a pattern with Microsoft's games lately.
Yeah,
all had that problem.
Yeah.
Sea of Thieves especially had that problem bad.
Yeah, and I'm hearing it's improved quite a bit, which is cool, but I'm not going back to that game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even though I still have it on my hard drive. I was like, maybe. I jumped in once for like 5 minutes out of the shops. Like, okay, I'm done. Because they keep putting out like big updates, but I don't think they're updates for me. They're updates for the people that have been sticking with the game.
Yeah.
Which is cool, but also you might want people to come back into the game.
Yeah.
They tried to do a big thing where it's like, oh, here's codes. You give them to your friends and they can come play with you for a week, like free play codes. And it's like, I don't really want to play with them. I get to go and like generate the codes or whatever. But yeah, it's. And Forza very much is like a game that's like, this never ends. There's no point in really playing this very much because I'm never going to see credits.
Yeah.
Forever.
I have played it a little bit, and it seems like they stopped putting the get millions of skill points for the Forzathon stuff. Though then it was like you have to like do races and get specific kinds of I think like passes for the one I was doing. So I was doing this dumb figure eight race over and over again to try and grind out this specific type of pass. Because I couldn't figure out any other way to do it. Which eventually I did, though this dumb figure eight race was breaking the AI. So it's kind of, there was kind of like these like shipping containers that were on it. And the AI would sometimes just get stuck in there. Because you could sort of skip the jumps that went up above it.
Yeah.
And you could just sort of just go right under it. And sometimes they would. Sometimes they take a wrong turn and get stuck in there. So I'd see like their little blips on the map. It's like, oh, there's one that's stuck. Good luck with that. But also that map was pretty dumb. Cause it was, I think you're supposed to get like a, you're supposed to pass, another car while jumping in the air. Which fun fact, if a car is on the ground and you're in the air, the car on the ground is going faster. It doesn't really work out too well. It's literally just dumb luck doing this race over and over again. And I also had to be in a really shitty car, and that's the annoying part of the Forzathons. It's like, hey, you're in this B or C level car. Do this thing that needs a car that's probably an A or an S. Right? Those aren't fun. I guess I'd spend all my money upgrading it a ton, but I don't really want to do that. Yeah. Yeah, Xbox is kind of a bummer right now.
It is. But
yeah,
is that
the
all?
only yeah, the only good thing I did on Xbox was play Danger Zone 2. And I exploded cars.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's been pretty much it.
All right. Well, as for me, well, I did get Anthem today, which is the new big new game from BioWare and EA. I got it downloading on my PS4 as we speak.
Yeah, because it finally came out today. Nobody's been able to play it for the past week.
Yeah, also there's a day one patch that's got to go into it too. So
I don't think you can call it a day one update.
No, it's a day zero update.
It's a day eight update.
I'm on the fence about getting that, but I am in a position to pick it up if it turns out to be good.
Yeah, I have a feeling that it's going to turn out to be the single most divisive game of 2019, or at least one of them.
One of them.
Because I have been getting wildly different reactions to it. There are people who love it. There are people who hate it. There are people who are mad about it. And then there are people who haven't played it, but they still think they have enough information to say they hate it.
Yeah.
That's then probably a whole like, lot of them.
Yeah. And then there are people like Mike Ibarra of Microsoft who very much hates anybody that has played and reviewed the game and doesn't like it.
Yeah.
Thinks they should not be reviewing games.
But yeah, so what I had been playing also this week had been Metro Exodus, which is, of course, the sequel to Metro 2033 and Metro Last Light. The difference being that this time the game, instead of taking place entirely inside Metro, or as they call it in the game, the Metro, because that game... Yeah, because it's loaded with awful Russian accents. and Moscow, the game actually basically are going through a good chunk of the ruins of the former Soviet Union. So you start in Moscow, you make your way through Novigrad, the Caspian Desert, which is the ruins of the former coast of the Caspian Sea. It's basically a giant desert. And there's also eventually you go to the taiga, which do you guys know what the taiga is? It's like a giant forest wooded area in the middle of Russia.
Yeah.
And you go through all this through like using basically riding an old like World War II era Soviet steam train. That you manage to salvage, and you end up like having to salvage like a passenger car and a coal car and all this other stuff. And it's just really good. It's a lot of fun. Obviously, since you know it's an Eastern European game, it's kind of janky, but not in any way that has, you know, been too bad. You know, I've had a couple of glitches here and there, but nothing like really major. Also, I'm pretty sure I found the mummified corpse of Gordon Freeman somewhere. So apparently somebody told me that apparently he also shows up in Stalker.
Yeah. That may be a thing with Russian games.
Yeah. Also, I didn't realize I'd been going through this game thinking that, you know, the actual, like the actual sort of the disaster, like the nuclear war of this game apparently started like in the 90s or at least the early 2000s. But there's an awful lot of like old 80s Soviet paraphernalia lying around, and I'm actually starting to question that. Because at one point you go to like a young pioneers camp and they still like have like a huge statue of Lenin in there. And there's like all kinds of posters and sickles and hammers lying around. So I've been playing that. It's a lot of fun. If you haven't played it yet, go get it. It's fun. Other than that, as usual, I've been doing lots of reading, as usual. I've been reading Pirate Latitudes by Michael Crichton. You guys know Michael Crichton, right?
Oh, yeah.
Jurassic Park, Timeline, you know, the Andromeda Strain, all that stuff. Congo, yes. You remember that movie, The 13th Warrior?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was based on his book, Eaters of the Dead. But I also got a copy of On Stranger Tides by Tim Powers. I guess I was just in the mood for pirates this week. But pretty much the whole Pirates of the Caribbean movie franchise basically robbed from On Stranger Tides wholesale. So it's good stuff. You know, it's basically a pirate fantasy. Kid sort of ends up teaming up with Blackbeard, and he has to deal with, like, skeleton armies and shit like that. It's awesome. Also, of course, I'm also against still watching stuff on Netflix and Funimation as well. Anime recommendation I'm going to give out right now. Anybody who's listening? It's an anime. It's called Magical Girl Spec Ops Asuka. Basically, what this is an anime where okay, so you know how, like, in all, like, the old school Magical Girl anime shows, there would be that last big story arc where they go up against, like, the big enemy? Like, the big enemy, and then it's, like, a world-changing event, and it's, like, almost apocalyptic in nature, and then it just kind of ends? Well, Magical Girl Spec Ops Asuka is basically the reality ensues part of that story, because it basically starts after one of those massive types of apocalyptic battles happens, and it basically makes you remember, hey, what would happen if one of these actually happened, and how would it affect the world? And it affects the world by basically
completely fucking it up.
Yeah. The various countries of the world decide to take to recruit the magical girls into their military forces. Also, like, magical artifacts from, like, the alternate dimension from where, like, you know, their little mascot characters gave them their powers become big on the black market. And, the girls that survived that big apocalyptic battle, yeah, they seriously have some messed up PTSD. It's one of those anime. But it's good shit. Watch it. Anything else? Oh, yeah. My house is currently suffering from a mouse invasion.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. I don't know. I told you guys that we had my mom spotted a mouse in our house. I think it was a couple weeks ago.
Yes.
Yeah, guess what? There was more than one.
Well, if you want to go to Kentucky, my mom and brother have 25 cats. You can borrow.
My mom's allergic to cats, though.
Oh, damn.
Just invest in an A24.
Yeah. So basically what happened is my parents had to call the Orkin man.
Yeah.
The exterminator. And so he went around, he looked around the house, and we found out where they were coming from. They were coming from both under the house, and they had also made their way into the attic as well.
Oh, fact, bonus points if you find snake skins up in your attic.
Yeah, he actually, the dude out there, he went up there with his iPhone to, like, you know, take footage. And he showed us, like, the parts where, like, the mice have actually, like, burrowed into the insulation to make pathways and stuff.
Yeah.
So he's had to, like, set up traps around the house, and he's supposed to show up again later on in the week for the next few weeks to sort of check on the progress. My mother had gotten it in the idea that if you trapped the mice and then, like, let them go, like, far away from the house, that they would stay away.
No, that's not how that works.
That only works if you take it to, like, your ex-girlfriend's house.
Yeah, but unfortunately, that is true. And eventually, she figured out that was the case when she realized that three of the mice that she had caught in our little, you know, non-lethal mousetrap all looked suspiciously the same.
Well, Brandon, they all fucking look the same. They're field mice.
Well, no, because some of these mice were more brown colored. Some of them were grayer colored.
Yeah.
And one of them had like a scar.
Oh, okay. Well.
So.
Well, this is where you start putting paint on them.
Yeah. But yeah, so we had to deal with that. Teresa, as the current representative of the fairer sex, can I ask you a question? Is there something genetic in women that makes them go eek when they see a mouse in the kitchen?
Abso-fucking-lutely. Don't want to do it. It just happens. I don't know. It's just, it's some weird lizard brain shit and we can't get rid of it. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. All right. Well, before we move on, have we got anything else we want to add?
No, just say, I'm just going to advise you that once this whole thing's over, that you do go ahead and invest in an A24 because it'll save you a lot of headaches in the future.
Julie noted.
Knows what I'm talking about. It's a Canadian mousetrap.
Yeah.
And it's for things that are more substantial than just mice, too.
Well, it's usually that. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, then, it is now time for everybody's favorite part of the show, Brandon's Random Factoid. So, first thing I want to do is I want to show you guys an image, a picture, as it were. And I want you to think of what's the first thing that comes to your mind when you see it, okay? You ready?
One of those diagrams, Rorsch diagrams or something?
Not one of those. All right, you ready?
Okay. Yeah, well, that should be...
Okay, so...
Let me fucking click on it. Oh. Well, yeah, I mean, you think Nazis, but it has more of a history to that, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Because there's no red here, right?
Actually, that is, in fact, the Hakenkreuz. That is the specific style of the swastika that the Nazis used. That is, in fact, that's the German term for the symbol. It's called a Hakenkreuz because it's hooked. It's a hooked cross.
Love you, dear.
Huh. Mm-hmm. But as you, in fact, pointed out, this symbol, which is known internationally as the swastika, actually does have an old and pan-national history that goes back as far back as antiquity. And even before then, there are cave paintings with this that have been found on. And in hindsight, if you think about it, obviously that makes sense because it's a very logical symbol to make. Because all it is two intersecting lines, and then you just add an extra line to the others that all go in a similar direction. And that's swastika. So it's for this reason that people have found this symbol as far back as, like, say, for example, here in an old pattern that was found on the floor of a Byzantine-era church in Israel.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Shavel Zion. There is also, for example, something known as a runestone, a 9th century runestone, which is called the Snoldov stone, has a swastika carved into it in red, like here. And in fact, and of course, we're gamers and sort of Japanophiles, so we know for a fact that the swastika is still very much very prominent in Southeast Asia.
Yep.
Especially when, you know, we played The Legend of Zelda. The Manji dungeon.
Mm-hmm.
Which, for those who don't know what a Manji is, I'll just go ahead and link it to it here. It's a very thick left-facing swastika. In fact, it was the the Manji was actually the family crest of the Atsukata daimyo family way back during the feudal states period in Japan. And you can also find it at this temple, this Hindu temple in Indonesia, right here. But here, oh, and yes, also it is a part of the Jain religion. This is a stone version of the symbol of the, which has like an open palmed hand with a swastika over it. Let's see what else. There's also, you know, on occasion, you know, it's like some forms of the swastika actually in Western culture still exist and are still very common. For example, you ever seen this pattern on a floor somewhere? On like a tiled floor?
I don't know.
Well, you
I can't
have.
Remember it. Probably, but yeah. I can't remember it.
Let's see. There's also this astrological script that was found in Han China. That was found in China that dates back to the Han Dynasty. You can see a swastika over there on the left. But what probably really a lot of people don't know is the fact that this symbol is very strongly linked to the Native American people, especially in the Southwest. For example, you guys ever heard of the 45th Infantry?
Mm-hmm.
World War II? Mostly of Native Americans?
Mm-hmm.
This is what the... their insignia, the like, and then the one they changed it to.
Huh.
Yeah. And as a matter of fact, oh, also here's Chief William Neptune. This was, I think this was taken back in the 1930s, 1940s, wearing a headdress that features swastikas pretty prominently on it. The Chicolo Agricultural School, which was primary Native American, their basketball team in 1909 featured a swastika as its symbol. This women's hockey team in 1922 features a swastika. And I don't actually have it with me here, but, you guys know Rudyard Kipling?
Yeah.
Jungle Book, mm-hmm. Kidnapped, Gunga Din, you know, all that. Back until World War II, his publishing house would put out his books featuring a insignia that had the head of an elephant and a swastika on it, because swastikas were linked with Hinduism, and most of Kipling's stories, a lot of them took place in the Indian subcontinent, right? So you're probably wondering, okay, so obviously this symbol was everywhere, right? Like, it's literally can be traced to just about every part of the globe. From Asia to, you know, ancient Rome, the Byzantines, Africa, you know, China and Japan. So you're thinking, okay, so how is it that this symbol was so, you know, prevalent and then instantly became just persona non grata? Well, like we said, as you probably will guess, yes, the Nazis are the reason. And if you've ever wondered why exactly the Nazis chose that symbol specifically, it's for that reason. It was so prevalent that it was actually considered completely, what's the word? Just ordinary.
Ubiquitous.
Yeah.
Ubiquitous. It had no, you know, there was, it was just a normal symbol that was associated with just a bunch of normal stuff. And that's specifically why Adolf Hitler chose it, because it made them look super normal. But then, of course, he had to go and do a Holocaust, and now
ruined it for everybody.
Which, Which really sucks because, you know, they ruined it for everyone. It sucks because it's a nice symbol with a really nice, you know, sentiment behind it. You know, it's the sun, it's the wheel of life, you know?
And so much history, too. I cannot think of anything else that has been ruined on that scale.
Yeah, that's pretty true. I mean, it's, you know, literally anywhere you go now, it's still, okay, so, like, it's still pretty ubiquitous in Southeast Asia, like we mentioned earlier, right?
Yeah.
You know, you'll still find it in, like in China, for example, you'll still occasionally find it near Buddhist temples. And like we mentioned, the Manji dungeon in Zelda. In fact, for the longest time, you guys know the Red Cross, right?
Mm-hmm.
Red Cross Society. You know how, like, there's a variant of the Red Cross for, like, non-Christian places? So, like, the Red Crescent for Muslim worlds. Well, they had a Red Cross version for the Buddhist world, and guess what it was called? The Red Swastika Society. So yeah, that's the history of the swastika, and that's how it became forever linked to the most hideous evil regime in the Western world. And that has been your random factoid for this week. All right, now on to some assholes.
Or one specific.
All right, so as always, we have to start the show proper, and first and foremost, we have to start with our asshole of the week. And believe me, we had some candidates this week, and we're going to be talking about a couple of them later on.
This week needed an enema, and there were so many assholes running around that we had trouble figuring out where to stick the hose.
Yeah, but the one we decided really deserved it the most was actor/rapper Jussie Smollett. You may know him as one of the cast members of the TV show Empire. Well, Jussie Smollett apparently found out that his contract was coming up for review soon and that his salary was going to be renegotiated. And being the narcissistic piece of shit that he is, he thought, hey, I can maybe exploit everybody's sympathy if I faked a hate crime. So he hired two black gentlemen to stage a hate crime. He claimed that he had been beaten, had bleach poured on him, was called racist and homophobic names, had MAGA shouted at him once or twice, and then somebody put a noose around his neck.
Mm-hmm.
This sounds eerily familiar.
Yeah.
We talked about him, didn't we?
Yeah.
Yes, we did.
Oh, we did.
And we thought it was actually legitimate.
Yeah.
Well,
a lot of people thought it was legitimate because, you know,
it's believable.
If you have empathy, it's a horrible thing to happen to a person, and you have any shred of empathy, you would immediately want to find out what went wrong.
Well, I believe that I had said, and this was the only thing I said, I did not repost, I did not weigh in on social media. I said on the podcast, I'm like, and if it turns out that this is a steaming pile of bullshit, this is a really, really shitty city with a lot of racial tensions to be pulling that in.
Yep.
Just leave Chicago the fuck out of this
and
shit.
You called it.
Yeah, you called it because we found out this week that not only was it a hoax, but he has in fact been arrested by the Chicago Police Department for filing false police report.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Well, I mean,
stupid games, stupid prizes.
When I found out that, you know, he left the noose around his neck for 2 hours, that's when my bullshit meter went off. And I didn't want to come right out and claim bullshit because, I mean, how shitty would that make me look if I had said that a couple of weeks ago when we talked about it? And that's why I kept my damn mouth shut. I mean, you know?
Yeah. Anytime I saw this trending on Twitter, I looked at who was talking about it. I was like, Jack Posobiec. Mike Cernovich, like, oh, God, I hope this isn't actually a hoax, because fuck these assholes.
Yeah.
It was a hoax.
Yeah.
So fuck those assholes.
Yeah.
Doesn't make you right.
Yep.
Yeah.
People should be allowed to have empathy for victims.
Mm-hmm.
And be willing to at least wait to see how things turn out.
Yeah.
Yep.
Not be immediately just calling bullshit. You know, why did you do this or that or this? And yeah, just fuck this guy. You've hurt the community of Chicago. And any black or gay people that do get attacked.
Yeah.
Because people like Trump are going to fucking obsess about it. Yeah.
Yep.
Which people point out, okay, he's called out this guy. How about one of the other guys that's on this list? I'm going to highlight this. He hasn't talked about this at all.
Nope. We're going to talk about it in a minute, but
yeah.
If you're listening in, you've probably already got an idea who we're talking about. But we're going to get to it. But yeah, fuck Jussie Smollett. You dipshit.
Yeah.
You thought this was going to save your career, and now you were never going to work in entertainment again.
A career that wasn't really under any threat.
No.
He was just paranoid.
He'll work in it again. He'll end up being on fucking, like, Dancing with the Stars or some bullshit. Because most of America has a really fucking short attention span. And, you know, they're full of attention whores and they love seeing attention whores.
Well, yeah. How many people still watch Woody Allen stuff?
Yep.
Yep.
Or Mel Gibson stuff?
No. Yep.
It's true.
Yep.
But anyway.
Yeah.
We'll get that taste out of our mouth. We're going to immediately go to the hero of the week. And this one was actually easy. So do you guys remember back when we talked about the Davos conference?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And there was that one guy, he was a Dutch historian who, you know, because Davos is basically like where billionaires go to try and make themselves feel like good people.
Yeah,
make them feel like they're good philanthropists who are totally not, you know, exploiting the labor of millions of people all over the globe.
Thank you very much.
And then
this is also where Bill Gates let out a bunch of mosquitoes and freaked everybody out.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I remember that. Oh my God.
Anyway, so yeah, that guy, he was like, you know, I feel like I'm at a firefighters convention. I'm not allowed to talk about water. Because as he pointed out, one of the big solutions here is taxes, making sure people, you know, pay their taxes, making sure the tax rates are high enough so that they can support an effective welfare state on the right people, you know. Well, you know, and it basically calling all the billionaires Davos out on their bullshit.
And there's a reason why he's never being allowed back in.
Yeah. Well, Tucker Carlson got it in his head. He's like, hey, this guy's talking about bullshit about progressive billionaires. Maybe I should have him on my show. We'll agree about a bunch of stuff. Yeah, he wasn't having it.
Yeah, he did his research.
Yeah, and so he goes on Tucker's show. For the record, if you're wondering why you never saw this, it never aired. In fact, this was recorded like over a month ago, apparently. And I guess one of the people who I guess works for him or is a family member or somebody, you know, they
like
were
somebody that worked at the studio where they recorded his end of the whole thing.
Yeah, they decided to pop out their iPhones and record the whole thing. And basically it showed two things. One, it showed that this dude basically did his research and was in no way afraid to basically just drop trowel and shit all over Fox News.
And there was the bits where Tucker Carlson's like, we're not even in your country. He's like, oh, there's still ways to watch it.
Yeah. Never heard of the internet?
Yeah.
He actually said that, by the way. He's like, you never heard of the internet, Tucker?
Nice.
You know this stuff can be watched all over the world. There's a reason why Fox News is a punchline outside of the United States. And inside the United States, to be honest. But
exactly.
Yeah. And there's a good bit. You can tell that he's really struck a nerve when Tucker Carlson can't say anything.
Yeah, like he legit just goes completely speech. Yeah, it's like well, here's the thing you need to realize. I first heard about Tucker Carlson way back in the early 2000s when Jon Stewart went on Crossfire and basically intellectually pantsed him on live television.
He disemboweled him.
Yeah. In fact, the people at CNN basically credit Jon Stewart specifically with why they canceled that show, because he basically exposed why it was shit.
Yeah, that was like a centrist show, basically.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing I've since learned about Tucker Carlson is this. He doesn't really have any ideas of his own. He just spouts whatever the viewpoints of whoever is paying him.
Well, always having the facial expression of trying to divide, you know, a large number by zero. Trying to figure out how that works.
I always said he looks like a 10-year-old who's just having sex described to him for the first time.
Oh my god. I gotta Google image this guy now.
Search for Tucker Carlson face.
Yeah. For the longest time, he was basically just pawning off the establishment Republican talking points whenever, because he basically bounced around like all the major news networks. He was on CNN, MSNBC, and Fox, the other big networks that showed up.
I just Googled it.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys.
Is always confused as what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my god!
And he's basically always espoused the mainstream Republican bullshit. Then when he got on Fox and the Trump train started going, and that's where all the money came in, and he started getting money from the Kochs and the Mercers, he started talking about this white nationalist bullshit. That's why he doesn't have any ideas of his own. No. And that's why he couldn't really argue with this dude. So eventually he got reduced to a cursing, blubbering mess and basically dropped the F-bomb on the dude. Like at least six or seven times. And it just exposed what a weasel he is.
And basically he just talks about, like, Tucker Carlson's trying to shit on billionaires. And he's like, well, hold on. You're a millionaire. You're funded by billionaires. Like, your whole message is completely in line with them. Like, you believe everything they tell you. Basically, you know, revealing that he is as sort of mindless and just pretty much a drone. Which this guy, whose name is Rutger Bregman, RC Bregman on Twitter, seems like a good follow. Posted the email he got. Finally getting a response about why the interview or when it was going to air. And it's the blow is a message from Tucker Carlson directly. I loved what you said at Davos, so I had high hopes for our interview, but you turned out to be far dumber, more dogmatic, and less impressive than I expected. You're a professional academic, so I guess I shouldn't be surprised, but it was still disappointing. Also, for what it's worth, you're an asshole.
Except for my iPhone. My God.
Told ya.
Oh, Jesus fuck. I would love you, to have...
For the record, if you do get a chance, watch the whole thing. Because it is amazing watching Tucker just basically be reduced to what he is. It is delicious. It's the most satisfying footage you will ever watch.
It to go one way and realizing it's not going that way at all.
Nope.
And that's why it didn't go on TV.
And then after you watch that, watch Jon Stewart's show on Crossfire and watch him humiliate both Tucker Carlson and Paul Begala. It is amazing.
Oh my god.
But anyway, now it's time for the proper show proper, and now we're talking to the second candidate for Asshole of the Week. A longtime white nationalist who also just so happened to be a lieutenant in the Coast Guard, who was discovered to have been planning a mass killing, a terrorist act, of Democrats and media, and was luckily arrested before all it could go down. He had logistics set up, he had plans, he had a fucking search history, he had amassed a very nice cache of weapons, and they managed to stop him before he could do it.
Yeah. Yeah, his hit list included, let's see, AOC, Chuck Schumer, Cory Booker, Richard Blumenthal, Kamala Harris, Beto O'Rourke, as well as CNN journalist Don Lemon, Chris Cuomo, Van Jones, MSNBC's Chris Hayes, Ari Melber, Joe Scarborough. Basically, a lot of these people that Trump shits on all the time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll notice our current president has not said a damn thing about it.
Well, he would just simply be a sick individual with mental health issues, not a terrorist. Don't we know that by now?
Yeah, all the terrorists are brown people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
he's
not,
studied
not white
a lot of
people in the armed forces.
Yeah. And he studied a lot of the other mass killings, like mused on how he could do better, all that sort of stuff. Kind of shit you're like, Jesus Christ.
That's fucking sick.
Not
as
to
shit.
Mention that Trump probably realizes at this point that he's committed stochastic terrorism and doesn't want any more attention on this than there already is.
Yeah.
But it's also revealed a rather nasty but often unspoken truth about America's armed forces, which is that it's got a serious white nationalist problem.
Yep.
It's got a serious mental illness and anger management problem.
But I just, okay, quick question here. Anybody here, excluding Phil, because he's Canadian, do we have friends or family members who are currently in or used to be members of the American Armed Forces? Army, Navy, Air Force.
Friend who was and died because of it, yeah.
My dad is a vet.
Yeah, ask them about this because they will probably tell you, I knew at least one dude who was like, had like, you know, a fucking SS tattoo or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Recruiters probably prey on these sorts of people.
They do. Also, it has to do with the training because you gotta remember, military training is you to get that muscle memory into you so that you can kill. Yep. And there is a specific psychological profile that they look for when they're – especially is for specific parts. Like, for example, Navy SEALs, for example, or Marines. May remember a certain Marine who was responsible for the bombing of the Robert McNamara building in Oklahoma City back in 1996.
Do. We certainly fucking do.
Or a certain former Marine and World War II vet who assassinated John F. Kennedy. Or, hell, it was a World War II vet that is considered to be the godfather of American neo-Nazism, George Lincoln Rockwell.
Boy, I hate to generalize. I really do. And I'm afraid we might actually get hate mail over this, but
it would be mail.
It would be. But I have never once in my life met a Marine that I've been comfortable in his presence. I've never met a female Marine. My brother has, and they'll fucking beat their wives without thinking twice about it. I don't know what else to say. I hate
Here,
to say
I'm
going to
be
way.
Honest with you. Here's the big issue is the United States does not have a re-entry program.
Yes, I agree
it
with
needs
you.
To, it needs a reentry deprogramming program. When a person is decommissioned from active duty, they need to be put through a course to help them reenter civilian society.
Yep. Mm-hmm. You know, fucking Star Trek talked about this back in the day with Khan, with, you know, the genetically engineered super soldiers back in the original series. Mm-hmm. They fucking were addressing this way back then.
Yeah, it's something they've never done.
Yeah.
Even back in, you know, the World War One, all that sort of stuff. It was a huge problem with Vietnam.
Yeah.
Obviously. And yeah, it's this country has a huge problem with mental illness in general, but much less dealing with the issues that people in the military that have been in active combat coming back home.
Yeah.
They just sort of drop them off and say, well, good luck.
Yeah.
Well, you know.
And if for anyone who thinks that I'm basing this specifically on politics, here's another problem. Street gangs. There are a lot of street gangs that are represented in the United States Armed Forces. Crips, Bloods, Folk Nation, Latin Kings, Vice Lords, all of them. So yeah, it's a massive issue in our military.
Yeah.
And it needs to be
it's
dealt
basically
with.
Basically a farm system for gangs.
Yeah, it is. But anyway, so Yeah, this guy is going to court, and he's going to go to prison for a long, long time, where he will probably be taken, well taken care of by the Aryan Brotherhood. But
yeah, that's
a whole other thing to talk about. But
yeah, I feel like we could do just a whole podcast on this one story. You know?
Yeah, but we can't. We got more stuff to talk about. So moving on from there. We got a new entry into the 2020 presidential race. It is Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders. And that's awesome. But I'm going to be completely honest here. I'm not sure if he's going to have the same level of support as he did in 2016. Because the whole party as a whole has shifted to the left significantly since he ended, since 2016. And, you know, now we've got the likes of like AOC and Ilhan Omar in the House of Representatives.
And also,
but at this point, at this point, he has name recognition.
Yeah, he does.
That might work in his favor.
And I would also say that he's not even the furthest to the left in the field.
No, he isn't. That would probably be, what's his name?
Andrew Yang.
Yeah, Andrew Yang, and also Pete, what's his name? Pete, Pete Buttigieg, yeah, him. Or Buttigieg, man. Or Buttigieg, I've also heard that too.
Butt G.
Yeah, Pete Butt G, that'll work. But yeah, basically the whole party has shifted to the left. After, you know, 20, 30 some odd years of trying to play the moderate Republican card.
Exactly.
Yeah, a lot of his talking points are kind of general talking points the others have. And also, he's 4 years older as well.
It's true.
He's not, you know, as far off as, like, Trump is. As far as Trump mentally is not there at all. Bernie Sanders is much more together in his age.
It's true. But, yeah, so it's going to be interesting. Man, it's – man, it is going to be much more crowded than it was last time around, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because people are paying attention now.
Especially
after tax season.
Oh, yeah, which, by the way, that's April 15th, folks.
Not if you fucking file an extension because you're closing on April 15th. It's not. Holy fuck, you guys. I can't outlay $9,000 at closing and then cough up $900 for my taxes.
They're at their bedroom now. I think my parents are just about that point where they're fixing to find out how screwed they really are.
You know what? I know that you want to do the I told you so in a way, but you might want to go get them some comfort food when they find out.
Yeah, I probably am.
It's going to suck. It really, seriously, it really does suck. I had no fucking idea this was going to happen because we usually get $2,500 to $3,000 back for federal. No fucking idea. And not all of it is the Trump fuck up. Part of it's that I worked. And all of my income got taxed at a higher bracket than, you know, Scott's did, because all of Scott's was under our previous tax bracket. So, but still, fuck. That was my fucking kitchen remodel money, you guys.
I'm waiting for it. I'm waiting for it. I got the contingency plan in place.
Yeah, go get those double stuffed Oreos for a minute.
I might go to Krispy Kreme or something and get a dozen donuts. Because, man, it is not going to be pretty when they finally realize just how bad the orange man in the White House bent them over. Oh, boy.
Told you guys what I said to my mom last week. She still hasn't had her taxes done. She thinks she's getting $5,000 back. And I'm like, my sweet summer child.
Now for next up, a story in the annals of pinkwashing and possibly trying to deflect. The Trump administration is launching a global effort to end criminalization of homosexuality worldwide.
Yeah, we should probably be specific which part of the Trump administration.
Yeah.
This is U.S. Ambassador to Germany, Richard Grenell.
Yeah.
Who you probably did not know existed until I just said that.
Until now.
Certainly didn't.
I would not consider ambassadors part of the administration.
No.
You know, this...
Well, they kind of are.
They are, but
like,
it's
they're like
probably
cousins.
Been a long time since we've heard that. Heard them yeah. referred to as such.
Yeah. It's true.
Because he's labeled as the highest profile openly gay person in the Trump administration.
Yeah.
Which, of course, they ship him off to Germany.
Is he about mm-hmm. the only openly gay guy in the Trump administration?
Probably not, but...
Well, yeah.
But yeah. Obviously, famously, Trump loves LGBT people.
So much so that he's more than okay with taking away their marriage rights.
And fucking taking on Mike Pence as his little bedfellow.
Mm-hmm.
And kicking him out of the army.
Scary yeah. fucking guy, Mike Pence.
But yeah, so they, I guess, are going to try to end the criminalization of homosexuality in dozens of nations where it's still illegal to be gay, which...
One of whom happens to be... Iran.
Yeah, it seems like the smokescreen.
Yeah.
That everybody saw through.
Yeah, like I said, don't mistake this. This is pinkwashing. That's all it is.
And
it's what the government of Israel has been doing for the last 20 years.
Yeah, it's essentially what the next story is also about.
Because
mm-hmm. They're trying to convince the other members of the Iran deal to drop out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And in that particular reason for that, Vice President Mike Pence – went to the security conference in Munich, and not once but twice in his speech, there was a break for an extended applause. The first one when he invited the crowd to clap after he had, and I quote, extended greetings from President Donald Trump. And you could have heard a pin drop in that room.
That was fucking hilarious.
Yep. After a few seconds, he realizes what's going on and moves on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But then he tries it again.
Yeah, and once again, nobody reacts. It is just stone quiet.
Yep, and it's not like they weren't cheering for things because they clap for Senator Lindsey Graham.
Yep.
Yeah. Which is also weird, but whatever.
Yeah.
Because he's definitely not getting it here. Outside of his state, at least.
Mm-hmm.
No, he's kind of a jerk.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. But yeah, it was just, I'm like, I hope this is a wake-up call, but it probably won't be.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, and I guess Angela Merkel was also critical of Trump's America First policies,
mm-hmm.
and obviously got an enthusiastic standing ovation. So,
yep.
I guess Ivanka Trump was also there, did not join in. So,
nope.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is the international community basically saying, "Go fuck yourself."
Yeah, mm-hmm. Like we like Americans, hate your fucking president.
Yeah. Mm.
Well, they like Americans. We aren't being dicks in their country, so
yeah.
Let's just
yeah, but
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, all right. Next story. Okay, do you guys remember that during the midterms there was that election in North Carolina?
Yeah.
That people very quickly realized there were shenanigans happening.
Yep.
Yep.
And they're like, oh, and you know the GOP, you know. Was like, no, there's no shenanigans. We need you to hurry up and call this and certify it.
Mm-hmm.
And then they launched an investigation, and then the dude's son went before court and said, my dad got aid from this guy who is really shady, and he basically allowed this guy to basically manufacture votes. And yeah, the committee came back and said, yeah, there was basically a voter fraud happening. on a very large scale.
Yeah.
That's like shenanigans with a capital Sh.
Yeah. And I mean, it's, and now it was announced that they're going to have to redo the election.
Yep.
Or, you know, they could do what, you know, that what should be done, which is just declare it for the Democrat who ran a regular campaign fairly, spent money fairly for it.
Yeah.
And now they're going to have to spend all that money again and do another campaign, and it's bullshit. They
don't pull the same shit again.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Are you starting to see why we hate this week so much, folks?
Yeah.
It's just, this was the week when all the awful shit just decided to poke its head out.
Say, hey, remember us?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and this is the same state that had problems with their gerrymandering maps.
Yep.
So much so you had the guy that was like leading the team for the Republicans setting this thing up. Like, I had to specifically say, like, we're not using any racial motivation for this.
Mm-hmm.
We're just trying to give our Republicans the advantage.
Mm-hmm. Because that's so like, fucking fair.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, anyway, in other news and race relations, a local paper in the state of Alabama called the Democrat Register, its editor released an editorial in the year 2019 calling for the Ku Klux Klan to form and Knight Rider again to clean out Washington, D.C. Yep, fuck this guy. Fuck him in every one of his wrinkly holes.
This guy's a very Alabama name. Goodloe Sutton.
Jesus, fuck. I can smell the sweet tea from here.
I can't possibly be his real name.
Yes, it is.
Yep. It is. It totally is.
G-O-O-D-L-O-E.
This Good is luck. The South. We have some fuck names here. But so
yeah, like his whole piece, they got screenshots of it. It's kind of an amazing thing to see in 2019.
Yeah. It is also convinced me that this dude probably has dementia as well, because it is very rambling.
Yeah, like Democrats in the Republican Party and Democrats are plotting to raise taxes in Alabama. They do not understand how to eliminate expenses when money is needed in other areas. This socialist, communist ideology sounds good to the ignorant, the uneducated, and the simple-minded people.
You want to talk about a simple-minded motherfucker? Come here and let me put my simple-minded foot up your simple-minded ass.
Mm-hmm. And, it's just, it's a long, he's apparently lost it, and he's also lost about half of his subscribers, too, apparently. So,
old white man yells at clouds.
Clouds, yeah. I think the dude's like 80, if he's a day.
He's a white man yelling at the black clouds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those of you who don't know, the Klan actually reformed in my home state of Georgia on the very top of Stone Mountain in Atlanta. The image that we all have, the popular image of the white robes and the hoods, that Klan, that's where they started. And they basically ran roughshod across my state for 50 fucking years.
Yeah.
There is no ever going to be a complete record of the crimes they committed here.
No.
Bombings, lynchings, shootings, acts of terrorism.
Yeah.
And the reason I'm telling you all this is because if this old cracker fuck actually gets his way and these Ku Klux cunt waffles actually manage to, you know, reform and start night riding again, I'm going to be the very first person you see on the front lines pointing a rifle at their stupid heads, because I'm sick and tired of having to live in their fucking shadow.
Yeah.
Okay.
A lot of people feel that way, I'm sure.
The South does not belong to you old cracker fucks, okay? It doesn't belong to you anymore. It belongs to me. It belongs to my generation. And we're sick of having to deal with your shit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, at least there's some good news here. The executive director of the Alabama Press Association said that the association's board of directors voted today to censure Goodloe Sutton and suspend the association membership of the Democrat Reporter. So yeah, there's condemnation, but obviously people called for his resignation, and you're probably not going to be surprised that he has not done it.
No. And also when people asked him, it's like, you know, so what do you want the Klan to do? You know, the Klan was like a terrorist organization, right? I mean, they killed a lot of people. And he replied, well, I mean, the Klan wasn't violent by design. They only killed people when they thought they had to.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said, you know, you're talking about the killing of human beings. Doesn't that trouble? He's like, well, these are socialist communists we're talking about.
Those are some fucking rose-tinted glasses.
Wow.
Just keep digging. Keep digging.
Like I said, remember, this is Alabama we're talking about.
And an 80-year-old who's out of touch and probably...
lived through that era, I bet.
Yeah. Yep.
Shit.
But, in other news and white privilege, you guys remember that viral video that went around about the those kids from Covington Catholic?
Yeah.
Confronting the Native American elder, beating his drum, basically being little assholes and not a fucking single chaperone in sight.
Yeah.
Well, you remember the one of that dumb smirking little shit weasel?
Indeed.
Yeah, well, he is actually, his family is now suing Washington Post for $250 million for defamation of character.
Yeah, good fucking luck there. It's on video.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. It's on video. Also, you know who owns the Washington Post?
Jeff Bezos.
Yeah. Those are some deep lawyer pockets right there, buddies.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
He knows what to do with dicks.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Chris.
God damn it.
No, thank you, Mr. Pecker.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, at the same time, if this did set a legal precedent, I'm sure those high school kids that were dodging bullets and ended up getting vilified by the right-wing media would have plenty of targets.
Mm-hmm. Well... yeah, so fuck this kid, fuck his family.
Yep.
And really fuck that whole high school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, all the stories coming out of that, it's an asshole factory.
Yeah.
A racist asshole factory.
It stinks of white privilege.
Yeah.
And guess what? This lawsuit is pure white privilege.
Yes, it is, because his parents are richy rich fucking loaded, and they're willing to sink millions of dollars in order to defend their baby boy.
And like the media were already doing that for them.
Mm-hmm.
After the longer video came out, like, oh, it's so different. It's like, no, nothing really changed.
Not. It didn't really change. Still acting like little shits. There was no adult to put any simple discipline. And, you know... It was just three or four dudes from the Black Hebrew Israelites. There was like there was like 30 of those kids.
Yeah. And they were there for the anti-abortion rally.
Yeah, because that's what they do. They bus in kids from all these schools to inflate their numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not exploitation of youth, is it?
The New England Patriots. Okay, we know that it's owned partly by Tom Brady, right?
Right.
Okay, there's another dude who's also owner, a guy named Robert Kraft, and he was found with hookers and is now charged with soliciting prostitution.
Shocking.
Wasn't really found with hookers, but there was a sting operation going on with a Asian day spa in Jupiter, Florida, and they have a pretty big list of people that visited, and one of them happened to be Robert Kraft. I guess he might have actually gone.
So they're not hookers; they're call girls.
Escort is the proper term.
It's essentially like they're sex slaves.
Yeah.
Because they're being kept there. And I don't know if they have the numbers here. This is an ESPN article, but it was something like these women were not allowed to leave, and they would be with something like 1,500 men a year.
Human
And
trafficking
not
is cruel.
exactly the most sanitary conditions either.
Nope.
So this is like cheapo sex
Sleazo.
stuff that a billionaire should probably be able to afford more high quality
Yeah, like
things.
there's far better. I mean, oh God, I can't believe I'm saying this because it makes me feel so dirty, but there's more high class escorts you can find with that type of income, dude.
Oh, I mean, they shut down Heidi Fleiss.
Yeah, but that's not, it's not the point. That type of personality, they want control. They want to feel like they're dominant over, someone who's way worse off than they
And they
are.
basically want to have the ability to just do whatever they want to that person and know that, it
There will be no
won't come back to
repercussions.
them. Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, so let's see. The individuals named as having solicited prostitutes could be facing either a first or second degree misdemeanor for each count. Secondary charge carries up to a $60 jail sentence and $500 fine. First degree carries up to a year in jail and a $1,000 fine. He's not going to jail.
Yeah, no, none of them are going to jail. Slap
Most
them.
people charged for the first time with soliciting a prostitute in Florida are allowed to enter a diversion program. Craft would have to perform 100 hours of community service and pay to attend an educational program about the negative effects of prostitution and human trafficking, which that seems more likely.
We've had a lot of shitty people this week, haven't we?
I like this line here. Jupiter Police Chief Daniel Kerr said he was shocked to learn Craft, who was worth $6 billion, was allegedly paying for sex inside a strip mall massage parlor.
Oh, you mean one of those Asian style massage parlors? Yeah,
You get
we've
one of
got
those
about
happy
two or three of
massages.
those. We've got about two or three of those here in Macon.
Yeah, and he is very much a Trump associate, fond of Mar-a-Lago Club, which is very low class.
You figure you've realized by now, but President Trump is associated with at least five known sexual predators now, including Jeffrey Epstein.
Yeah, well, birds of a feather motherfucking flock together.
How much longer do you think it is it's going to be before we find out that Donald Trump is not just a sex offender, but also a child molester?
Probably not long.
Depends on if he
Anyway.
fucks.
There was already that whole Miss Teen USA thing.
Oh, yeah, he liked to go look at the underage girls.
Oh yeah.
Because
Well.
he's running the pageant, so he gets to check the merchandise, I guess.
Yep. All right. So, next up, there's a scientists have warned of basically what is California's other big one. Now, you guys have heard what the big one is supposed to be in California, right?
It's a big quake,
The
but
big quake that it had, the San Andreas Fault,
I
basically.
thought the caldera was the big one.
Nope, San Andreas
Yep.
essentially
Nah.
separates a good chunk of like LA and all that into its own island.
Well, sure, that's gonna be a big ass thing, but fucking blowing up half the fucking US might be too. Sorry.
No, I get
That
it.
caldera scares the fucking shit out of me.
Yeah, well,
But I wanna go see it.
this is the other big one that scientists are worrying about. What they call the Arc Storm. Basically, it's a storm. And it hasn't happened yet, and there's really no way of knowing when one will happen, but because of climate change, it's now a more likely event. And if
Yeah,
it happens,
and
need to
it has
overwhelm all
happened
of their
before.
dams and flood. And it could flood dozens of cities.
Ah, damn it.
It could last
So,
for
like we said,
weeks.
yeah, we've it's happened before.
That's like the 1800s. Which people are suggesting maybe it's like an every 200 year kind of thing.
Well.
Which, yeah, it's California obviously lately has been very drought heavy, especially with the fires kicking up. But yeah, this would potentially send like 1.5 million people fleeing as their dams that are not in great shape get overwhelmed and destroyed, and forming many more lakes in California, which would make the Lakers more apt name now.
I mean, it's kind of an ironic name as things are right now.
Yeah, because they started in Minneapolis. Which...
Yeah, well, sure. It's like fucking 10,000 lakes in Minnesota.
Yeah, it's like how one of Pat's teams over there is the Utah Jazz. Because Utah is known for their Jazz.
Are they really?
Yeah.
Really?
That's where a lot of this...
They came from New Orleans.
Yeah.
And they just fucking Chicago is known for Jazz. Utah is known for people not knowing how sex works.
Yeah, and so this definitely seems like a big storm that, you know, people are smart. They might say, hey, we should invest a lot of money in infrastructure, especially dams and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And remember, this is California, which is like the 7th largest economy in the world. So,
yeah,
they could do it.
Yeah, and
they might take it seriously. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think
state would. I think California would.
Yeah, this is
God damn it, cat.
Yeah, and this research has been done by the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, so they kind of know what they're talking about.
Yep,
they're kind of suggesting that the bill for upgrading all this stuff should be as much as about $600 million.
Yeah. Which is less than, you know, having a whole bunch of cities underwater.
Yeah. And particularly the, what is this dam they're talking about? The Whittier Narrows Dam along the San Gabriel River, which is a 56-foot tall dam that, it has a bunch of homes, schools, and commercial centers about 13 miles south of Los Angeles.
Oh, boy.
And all you would see is underwater.
That would be an issue.
Yeah, it would.
And I think they said it could happen within the next 100 years. So, like, hey, people in LA, you're rich. You want to keep that stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Somebody got $600 million that, you know, maybe lost in the folds of your couch.
Maybe throw that over. Yeah.
Your fucking Poltrona Frau couch.
All right. Next story. This is from Japan. Japan's space program has apparently had assessed their Hayabusa 2 spacecraft, landed on the Ryugu asteroid, and then shot it.
That's totally what Japan would do.
Yeah, so... We talked about this a while ago that it was approaching it. That was supposed to try and land about October. Mm-hmm. But upon examining the surface, they realized it's a bit more uneven than they were expecting. So it took them a while to try and find a good place to actually land. And yeah, so it landed on Thursday. And then the spacecraft fired a 5-gram bullet made of tantalum onto the surface to dislodge particles to collect. With his sampling instrument. Then it's began to rise again. And there's some shots here of it on its ascent. And yeah, you can see where it's shot.
Left a little divot.
Yep. And yeah, they're going to take 2 more samples before it comes back. The third is going to be using explosives to blow a crater in the asteroid.
Mm-hmm.
So it can get material that's more under the surface.
All right.
So they're not content to shoot it. They have to blow it up.
Yeah.
God damn it, Japan.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, next up, Samsung officially announced their foldable smartphone called the Galaxy Fold, and it's going to retail for about $1,980.
At first.
At first.
Yeah, it's going to be out on April 26th, and it seems like a really cool design.
Mm-hmm.
They're gonna have LTE and 5G versions, which I don't know what Samsung means when 5G.
They mean actual 5G, but it's gonna be.
Who was it that was first using 5G? Fake 5G? I was trying to claim
that. AT&T.
Yeah, AT&T. Okay. Because somebody was like trying to update their display to say 5G. No, it wasn't 5G because it hasn't launched it yet.
Yeah,
it's a 7.3-inch Infinity Flex display,
mm-hmm.
and they sort of show. Let's see. Yeah, it has essentially a regular thicker phone body, but then you can open it up for a tablet size screen.
Yeah,
which they show as sort of a map that's zoomed in. Then opening it up to see a fuller view of the whole thing. So, yeah, when it's folded, it's about 4.6-inch screen. It's 512 gigs of Universal Flash Storage 3.0.
Yeah.
I think they have one of their regular phones has a terabyte of storage in it.
This one can too, but...
It has a Qualcomm 7-nanometer octa-core processor and 12 gigs of RAM.
I don't understand how even a bumper case with hinges is going to work for this. Like, how do you?
Yeah, the case designers have a challenge on their hands.
Yeah,
it'll have to be
on
like
a battery box.
Yeah,
elastic or something in the corners. I don't know. Springs? No.
Yeah, it even has two batteries in it that are separated by the fold, but combined when you open it up for a total of 4,380 milliamp hours.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, they got a nice sturdy backbone with a hinge system that has multiple interlocking gears that are hidden sort of when you unfold it. So it says they're able to fold at least 200,000 times, which would be something like 5 years.
I wonder if there's a counter in the software that actually says how many times you've...
Yeah, like the power cycle things on MacBooks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's Android, so somebody will probably be able to figure that out.
Yeah.
It has cameras. It can run three apps at once. So that's sort of like Windows 10 style where you have, like, they'll be able to dock Windows on there.
Yeah.
So you can have, like, a big one on the left side and two smaller ones. So you can, like, watch a YouTube video on one and do some app stuff on the others.
Yeah. And nobody's going to do that.
No, man. They're going to be watching porn on, like, 7 inches.
Three porn videos.
Sorry.
I want
to... what she proclaimed.
Like, I watched the presentation for this, and first of all, I found that it was kind of interesting that they led with this, and that, second of all, there were no details that showed up prior to the presentation, whereas the S10 that they announced as well was, like, leaked all over the place.
Yeah.
So, I think Samsung's been controlling the message just a little bit.
Yeah.
$2,000? Well,
euros.
$1,980 is a whole lot of money.
Yeah. No thanks.
Well, I mean, somebody's got to pay the premium price for getting in early.
Yeah.
Right now, like I said on Facebook, the economies of scale have not ramped up for foldable displays. They're just coming out onto the market, so they're going to be expensive.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But,
so what happens if nobody decides to take the plunge?
Oh, they will.
They're going to sell all of these that they make.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah, these are for the rich fucks out there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Not the 1%, maybe the 2%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
2.5. Yeah.
Maybe the ones that have some business stuff are on the... They're on trips all the time. It's like,
hopefully nobody sells a kidney to get this, you know?
Yeah, no.
God.
Yeah,
wait for a few generations.
Yeah.
See how it goes.
And I'll also comment on the price, $1,980. The year, 1980. And you know what was popular in 1980? Those foldable fortune teller things.
Oh, God.
Nobody picked up on that, did they?
Fuck me. You're right.
Damn.
True. Yeah. All right. Okay. Now we're at the Netflix part of the show. And first and foremost, in another move that the Disney Corporation is slowly moving all of their IPs over to their own personal streaming service, Netflix has officially canceled The Punisher and Jessica Jones.
Yep. Third season of Jessica Jones is still going to air.
Yeah.
I don't think they have a date for that yet, but that's going to be sometime in the near future, next couple months.
That one's already shot.
Yeah. So
I hope somebody picks up The Punisher. I mean, I think Hulu probably has a shot at getting it. I get the sensation, the sense that Disney and Netflix aren't getting along too well.
Could be.
Well, they got their own services coming.
Does it have to do with that service, or is there something deeper going on?
I think there's something else going on, because they seem to be willing to license their stuff to other companies.
Mm-hmm. Well, they partially own Hulu.
Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah.
And
yeah.
With,
maybe they put the more mature stuff on Hulu and the regular stuff on their own stuff, on their own service.
Yeah, I think that's largely the plan, to keep the Disney Plus service to be more like Teen Max, as far as the sort of content. And once they get the Fox merger, they'll own most of Hulu.
Mm-hmm.
And then they can put all their mature stuff on there.
Mm. All right.
So, yeah, two services for all your Disney stuff.
Wonderful.
I think they announced Captain Marvel is going to be the first of their Marvel movies that are going to be exclusive to Disney Plus.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That isn't on Netflix. Because that kind of stuff is still like finishing out.
All right.
What else we got?
Netflix has acquired the right to the blockbuster Chinese film The Wandering Earth, which is based on a short story by Xi Jin Liu, who you may know as the writer of The Three Body Problem.
This is kind of similar to a Futurama episode.
It's made about $6 million at the box office already.
Yeah, I think it's their second.
And, yeah.
Yeah. I think it's their second highest grossing movie in Japan, in China.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's it's about set in the distant future, which the Earth is about to be devoured by the sun.
Yeah.
And so they essentially put propulsive engines on the Earth to turn it into a spaceship.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they did that. The drama.
Sounds exactly like something Xi Jin Liu would do.
Yeah, that is totally something he would do.
Quite an optimistic fellow thinking we're still going to be around to see that.
You didn't read the Three Body Problem trilogy.
No, he did not. Believe me.
Yeah. Anyways.
But yeah, I'm going to definitely be excited to see this.
Yeah, me too.
Also going to be excited to watch Love, Death, and Robots, which is that... Also, that other animated anthology that's supposed to come out on Netflix, I think, next month. Yeah, you're going to want to see that one. Next up, we got a trailer. Finally, because I swear this thing has been in development for like 15 years. We got a trailer for the Motley Crue movie, The Dirt, be on Netflix.
Yep.
All right.
Now, does everyone know what The Dirt is? Dirt is the autobiography that was written by the band members. It came out in the early 2000s. It was a bestseller. And it based everything about the crew that made them infamous. Which is... yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. This is going to be a good watch.
Oh, yeah.
And it's up March 22nd, so a month from now.
Yeah.
Yep.
Cool.
But basically, these guys would basically shoot paint thinner into their dicks before they'd go on to do a show.
Well, there was one time they were doing drugs backstage with Ozzy, and Ozzy snorted ants that were just walking toward a popsicle stick that was on the ground.
Yeah. And then he pissed on the ground, and then Nikki Sixx tried to one-up him by licking it off the ground.
I didn't hear that part.
Yeah. Yeah, these dudes, you know, and then you remember, oh yeah, Vince Neil also killed a guy.
Yep,
that did happen, didn't it?
Then of course there's Tommy Lee and his infamous relationship with both Heather Locklear and Pam Anderson.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's basically made up of a when it started was basically made up of a runaway, Nikki Sixx, a teenage drummer, you know, that was Tommy Lee, an old man for a guitarist, that's Mick Mars. People are often surprised how old that guy actually is, because he'd been making music since the 70s when he joined that band. And then, of course, a singer from a cover band. That was Vince Neil. Finally, last story of the night. We got our first trailer for the Twilight Zone reboot from Jordan Peele.
Yeah. And they hate Canadians because I can't watch it.
Yep. But basically what this trailer showed is, one, it gets meta as fuck almost immediately. And two, don't expect them to faithfully recreate the classic episodes, because they're going to do some of the classic episodes, but they aren't going to do it in the direction you're thinking.
Cool. Oh. Yep. Kind of like
that's what you want from a Twilight Zone. You don't want to know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
You want to throw you for a loop.
Yeah.
There's a man on the wing of the plane.
Wish him to the cornfield.
Yeah.
Yep. Lots of notable actors. Yeah, it looks pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I'm definitely going to be watching this.
I can't see it.
Yeah, it's a lot of little clips from the various episodes. Nothing really spoilery.
I'm sure it'll show up on Flex for you by tomorrow.
It's true.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I get Netflix, so it's like, I'll be able to see it, but for some reason, they're not letting me watch this trailer for some reason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sure the trailer will be on there by, well, soon.
Yeah.
Yeah. It'll be out April 1st.
Yep. Yeah.
Great time to launch.
All right. The show. Yeah. I do believe we got ourselves a show, folks.
Oh, boy, yes.
Oh, no.
Pulled out somewhat.
Somewhere.
Oh Lord!
They do say it's stupid that's
quickly wrap.
Timing.
Quick,
that's iron. Right. Yeah.
Is it? Am I starting to stutter again? I'm starting to stutter again, aren't I?
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We're going to wrap this up quick. to write into the show, have something you want us to read on the air? Question, comments. You can get in touch with us at letsweekenders.com. Let's Weekenders at gmail.com. That's letsweekenders@gmail.com. We got a link in the show notes. Also, on top of iTunes, you can catch our little piece of shenanigans at Apple Podcasts, Google Play, RSS, archive.org, and any place where podcasts like ours can be downloaded and enjoyed. I have been your host, William Brandon Perkins, and former Believer in Alpha, Patrick Midland, Teresa Sampson, Chris Logie. Good night.